അസ്സലാമു അലൈക്കും വറഹ്മത്തുള്ളാഹി വബറകാതുഹു. ബിസ്മില്ലാഹിർ റഹ്മാനിർ റഹീം. അസ്സലാമു അലാ റസൂലില്ലാഹ്. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. اللهم الهمنا مراشد امورنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا. السوره سوره النجم. نجم means the star. In the surah, Allah tabarak tala indicates towards the highest physical elevation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's what we call the Mi'raj, and going to levels which Allah tabarak tala did not allow any of his creation but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reach. On that journey of Mi'raj, many things happened which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on informed the Ummah. We will mention a few of those. But it was a journey which had a great relationship with Masjid al-Aqsa. And on the journey, Allah tabarak ta'ala allowed him, he met many Anbiya alayhimu salam. But those Anbiya alayhimu salam, he met them at Masjid al-Aqsa. At Masjid al-Aqsa, he met Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, many Anbiya. And different Anbiya gave khutbahs, he also gave a khutbah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then was taken up, the journey to Aqsa is normally known as Isra, and the journey then to the heavens is known as Mi'raj, Uruj. Through the heavens, Allah tabarak ta'ala brought different Anbiya alayhimus salam to welcome him. On the different heavens, a different Nabi or a pair of Anbiya alayhimus salam would meet. They did not live on that heaven. They had already met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Masjid al-Aqsa, but the istiqbal was already going to take place again on the different heavens. Why it was these Anbiya alayhimus salam that was chosen? On the first heaven, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, on the second, a different, on the third, a different. Allah tabarak ta'ala inspired ulama of different eras with different inspirations. That why this Nabi had to be on this heaven? They don't live on those heavens. They were brought there for istiqbal, to meet. But Allah tabarak ta'ala brought those Anbiya alayhimus salam on the heavens. And the journey started from Masjid al-Aqsa. And history would show the world a unique connection between those Anbiya, Masjid al-Aqsa, and the entire tariq of Islam. What we are seeing today is Masjid al-Aqsa, and everything happening around is only happening for Masjid al-Aqsa. And the lessons that every Nabi, that perhaps with his own personality, gave on those heavens is what we will try to mention. This is a unique surah. The end of the surah, Allah tabarak ta'ala says, no matter how powerful a person might think he is, there is no one who can match the might of Almighty Allah. So the end of the surah explains that enemies, no matter how strong they are, in a battle with Almighty Allah, no one has ever won. وَأَنَّهُ أَهْلَكَ عَادًا الْأُولَى. When the people of Aad were in this world, they were like giants. Allah tabarak ta'ala said it was Allah who just destroyed them. وَثَمُودَ فَمَا أَبْقَى. Another nation of Aad came. They were known as the second Aad. They were also like giants. Allah tabarak ta'ala said, he destroyed them. Just like, فَمَا أَبْقَى. He left none of them. How that? He just destroyed them. And normally you will say, you know what a war it was. My Almighty Allah, it's just, I wrap them up. Mighty giants they were. I did not need armies. One angel came down with one command, the end, game over. So the mighty armies of the world that we see in front of Almighty Allah, it is all like the wing of the mosquito. And when Allah tabarak ta'ala wants to wrap it up, it's all wrapped up. So it was Aad, it was the second Aad known as Thamud. وَقَوْمَ نُوحٍ مِّن قَبْلٍ. It was the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Innahum kanuhum azlam. They were even worse. They were greater oppressors. They were more rebellious. So we wrap them up. وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَةَ أَحْوَى. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, they got involved in the filthiest of actions. They also thought, we will never be punished. Allah Tabarakala gave them a punishment fitting for the crime. The crime was an upside down action. The angel was told to make the land upside down. Taken to the sky, turned upside down, bang. They were brought upside down. Ahwa. فَغَشَّاهَا مَا غَشَّى. And then the punishment of Allah just rained upon them. Every nation, no matter how much they thought that they will be able to oppose the message of Almighty Allah. هَذَا نَذِيرٌ مِّنَ النُّذُرِ الْأُولَى. This, meaning this Qur'an, and this Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is one messenger from the messengers of the past. They also gave a message. There were those who accepted, there were those who rejected. But no one ever lasted. No one ever lasted. In today's time, if you want to read the news, sometimes you become despondent. Because our level of sabr is like, when something is happening, we want it to happen tomorrow. And we'll wake up 5 times at night to know, did tomorrow come? But we don't have that ability. But in the court of Almighty Allah, I want you to think of this. This was not a 5-day, 10-day story. The people of Aad, before Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, those few nations, they had a very long time on earth. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam's dawah itself was 900 years. The people before Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, after Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, it started getting short. But before Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, it was not a short episode. You have to think about the amount of oppression that occurred in those eras. And how those people were waiting, waiting, waiting. When is the help of Allah come? But in the court of Almighty Allah, there's no rush. But when it gets wrapped up, it's like one sentence. Aad finished. Thamud finished. The people of Lut finished. We wrap them, we wrap them, we wrap them. A day will come where the people of Iman will sit. The people of Iman in the last, what we will say, 150 to 200 years, we saw a lot. Allah's kindness upon us, He had given us a lot of afia. But the people who are in those lands, the lands of Iraq, the lands of Iran, the lands of Sham, they really saw a lot. Iran was full with the people of Sunnah. Today, if you go, you will find hardly any of the people of Sunnah. Where did they go? They really saw. Tortured, made to change their faith, scholars removed, people have to cover themselves, hide their identity, an entire land of Iran to go underground. How much of zulm? People will one day speak about it. What happened in Iran? What happened in Iraq? Iraq was the land of the Sunnah. Today, if you go to Iraq, it's the spreading of the Shi'i faith. What happened to the people of the Sunnah? So much of oppression. Just because it doesn't come in the media, it doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because it doesn't come in the media. We were in Afghanistan at the time when the war of Gaza started. Those people saw war for over 40 years. But the war with America was 20. One thing they said when the war started and someone asked them, like, what's going to happen? They gave the answer that you can't rush this. You can't rush. And they said, we also saw years and years of war. A time comes that it becomes so stretched that the people start actually saying, when will the help of Allah come? And that's when Allah's help comes. There's no rush in this. But the plan of Almighty Allah as it plays out is a most unique plan. So at the end of the surah is, you're looking at the enemy is going to be wrapped up. All of them are gone. They can have the strength of Aad, the strength of Thamud. They can have the stubbornness of the people of Nuh alayhi salam. They can have the filth of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. When the command of Allah comes, they're all gonna go. That's the end of the surah. Azifatil azifa. For indeed, Qiyamah is very close. لَيْسَ لَهَا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ كَاشِفَ. But no one will be able to start Qiyamah besides Almighty Allah. But it is very close. How the surah starts? The point of the surah is how high Allah's Nabi went. He went for Mi'raj. How high? But the surah starts when Najmi Idha Hawa. By the oath of the bright star. Star is Najm. But the Arabs used to call one star, they had the name Surayya. Surayya was a shining star that shined more than the rest. So when they would look in the sky, they would see Surayya, so they gave Surayya the name the star. The surah starts when Najmi Idha Hawa. Hawa means when it falls, when it disappears, when you can't see it. The surah's point is how high the Nabi of Allah went. How high? The beginning of the surah, when the star disappeared. Ulama explained many reasons behind such an oath. But one reason they explain is that the Anbiya alayhimus salam of the past, they served for the world the position of stars in the sky. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the sun. As long as the sun was not ready to rise, you had to have stars in the sky. You had to have it. But when the time came for the rising of the sun, the final star of the lineage of the Anbiya alayhimus salam had to set. That was Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a mighty Nabi of Allah, and the entire link of Banu Israel, starting with Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and so many Nabis that came after, working with this tribe called the people of Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, they called them Banu Israel, Nabi after Nabi, Nabi after Nabi. Everyone was a star, a star, a star, but from all those stars, the star was Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He was the star. But for the sun to rise, the star also had to set. So Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they got around him. They gathered, they wanted to kill him. Almighty Allah was not going to allow them to kill him, but he had to go. As he was going, he said that actually I was a sign. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ, that I only came to give you the glad tidings. Meaning my setting, my disappearing, is not to be taken in a hard manner. I have come to give you the glad tidings that the sun is very soon going to rise. That if I was a star to light up the entire Al-Aqsa and the lands of Sham, because that was Nabi Isa alayhi salam's markaz. That if I am a star to light up Sham, a sun is going to rise who's going to light up the entire world. From the east to the west, north to the south. But for the sun to rise, the star has to disappear. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was taken up. And did the sun rise immediately? Nothing happens. 600 years later. But when the sun of Nubuwa rose, Islam became bright in the entire world. How the beginning was, the ending will be the same. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He likened them to stars. He even would say, my Sahaba, how the stars are the protection of the sky. My Sahaba are the protection for my Ummah. Means when the stars disappear, then those things, he said, when the stars disappear, that will come on my Ummah, which Allah has promised. When the last Sahabi passed away, the doors of fitna blew wide open. Wide open. But Allah Tabarak Ta'ala had made it that for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, There wasn't a system that a son, a grandson, was going to look after his work, his mission. For him, Allah Tabarakala was going to make the whole world his servants. Men and women in the world, they would not understand why. They would just say, this is my mission. It is the mission of my master. Someone will say, what makes him your master? Did he purchase you? Did he free you? Is he your father? Is he your grandfather? Is he your uncle? Who is he to you? The man would say, I'm not even from his tribe. I have never seen him, but he is my master. And I am his slave. Allah Tabarak Tala created stars. There were going to be stars in this ummah who were going to light up the entire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise when he said, La nabiya ba'di, after me there will be no nabi. After me there will be no nabi. Immediately after him, Allah Tabarak Tala was going to make that if there's no nabi and a nabi like him, a son, then who was going to take the place? A star. And this ummah was going to then see many stars. That is why light would remain in the ummah continuous. There had to be a time where darkness was going to come on the ummah again. And that darkness came on many occasions. It came when the Tatars attacked Islam. It came when the Umayyad Khilafat was destroyed. It came when the Crusades came into the lands of Al-Aqsa. Every time it was called dark night. And in every dark night, because first when the sun sets, you don't see stars immediately. But as the night gets later, in some of our towns in South Africa, you will never see stars. But if you go to villages, you go out to other places where there's no pollution, you'll be amazed at how many millions of stars there are. Me and you, while sitting here, we might see no stars. Some reason is sometimes we're only on the phone. On the phone, you won't see a real star, you see stars only. That's why the person says, there's no hope for the ummah. No hope. But tell a person, travel in the world. Travel in the world and think, how did Islam manage to put up so many masajid in the lands of Europe? There are millions of stars of Islam that have spread in the whole world. Every town is a star. But sometimes because of pollution, we don't see the star. You come into this town here, you think it was like this. This masjid was here, that masjid was there, all the masjids are here. It is something to think about what brought people to a masjid. In the time of total darkness, it was a star. Just because you can't see the star, it doesn't mean the star is not operating. Lot of stars, millions of stars in the sunnah. It was all for as a honor to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The light will not go. Different people became stars. And wherever they went, they gave a little light. In the era of darkness, whenever darkness came, one of the biggest periods of darkness then came with the fall of the Khilafah. One of the biggest. Total darkness. But in total darkness, Allah put up the stars. The work of Tabligh started. The work of Darul Uloom started. Go in the world today and you'll wonder, in the era where Islam is the target, every country wants to destroy Islam. In that very era, even the countries who are the biggest enemies of Islam, in every city, in every town of that country, a masjid is being built. Which you'll say, you can't sort out your own house. I said to Umar radiallahu anhu before he accepted Islam, you got hopes of killing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam entered in your house. Your sister is reading. It was stars that put it. Stars. And Allah Tabarak Tala brought those stars. Amongst the stars that really shone in the world, we heard a name called Salahuddin Ayyubi. We heard a name Nuruddin Zengi. These were stars. Then there were those who fought against the Tatars. They were stars. And when there were those who established the Ottoman Empire, there were stars. At the time when the world said total darkness, suddenly you saw a star. And he became brighter and brighter. One of the brightest stars that in the last part of this Ummah history saw was what is called the Ottoman Empire. It was a very bright star. The reason is Islam started going right into Europe. The capital of Europe was what they call Constantinople. They even said who rules from Constantinople is the Caesar. When Muhammad al-Fatih took over Constantinople, he even wrote to them, that means I'm the Caesar now. They had to change the whole constitution. Then how can Caesar be a Muslim? The whole constitution changed. It was a land they never thought Muslims will take over. The star started with the Ottoman Empire. It became brighter and brighter and brighter. It reached the peak of its brightness. It was known as Suleiman the Great. It was a star. And the whole world was seeing Islam, but it was still dark. There was darkness, but what a bright star. But it was still not what was at the beginning, where you would have total Islam in the entire world. True Islam. Full Islam. Unique Islam. That total brightness was going to be brought with Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak about the second coming of Isa alayhi salam. But the entire matter would now reach its completion. And the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter every home. Some happily would accept it, some would not be too happy. All that world which said we follow Jesus, when they will see the truth, they'll become shocked. And you will see people coming into the fold of Islam exactly as happened at the beginning. And the kalima la ilaha illallah will be so loud that jizya won't be accepted. No one can say, can I pay the tax? They'll say, what do you want to pay the tax for? The truth has become so apparent. Light spread everywhere. But for that light to spread, again the world needed وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. A star had to disappear. That star disappeared with the fall of the Ottoman Empire. With the fall of the Ottoman Empire, that bright star of Islam. Stars, many stars, but the bright star. But it had to disappear. At that time when it fell, the world of Islam cried. Just as the world of Iman cried when Isa a.s. was left. But for the promise which Allah made for this Ummah, that it will now come to its culmination peak, there was a need for the Ottoman Empire to first close, so that the chapter towards the coming of Nabi Isa a.s. on the second occasion, and the killing of Dajjal, that chapter could now start. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. When that sun, when that star set, everyone cried. But at that time there were those who said, now we're waiting for the rising of the sun. And we are still waiting. In the beginning of Isa a.s., they waited 600 years. From the fall of the Khilafah, we most likely will not have to wait 600 years. We are seeing the sun on the rise of the sun right at the east. We can see it already. It's on the line there that soon that sun is just going to rise. Soon it's going to rise. The light, you can already see it. But as they waited for 600 years, there were some people waiting, thought it will never happen. And when it happened, they were not ready for it. And there were those who remained waiting, but they were patient. And as soon as they saw it happening, they immediately ran towards it. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were those old priests. As soon as they got the message, at their old age, they sent a message with someone that my people are going to kill me. But say to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe in you. He sent the message. And then the Romans realized that you're not coming out for your sermon. First week you never come out. Second week you're not coming out. What's wrong? Then they send a message to him. From the time that messenger from the Arabs came to you, you're looking different. What's wrong with you? He said, if you don't come out this week, we'll kill you. Then that week comes, he puts on his best clothing. He takes his ghusl. He had already sent his message. He goes out. The people said, 2 weeks you never give us a sermon. And his sermon is that what we were waiting for so long has finally come. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the promised Nabi has arrived. They jumped on him. What he knew is going to happen, they killed him. He waited. One who waits will be ready to give his life when it happens. One who becomes impatient, the day it happens, he will just collapse. Meaning he gave up. So we don't push so much that it must happen tomorrow. But we know it's going to happen. When the star set, it laid the road out for the rising of the sun. When najmi idha hawa, when the star set, it laid out the road for the rising of the sun. There could have been a much lot of other things we could have mentioned, but time. So we will just come now to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam going up. As he ascends the heavens, on the first heaven he will meet Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama wrote it was the right Nabi to meet on that heaven because the first was Adam. Others explained that Adam alayhi salam's personality was going to give a message. The most unique mention of Nabi Adam alayhi salam that comes in Quran is that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was created, and soul was born in him. Because of him being man, the devil hated him. And the devil in his hatred did not attack him directly. But he launched an indirect attack on him. That your biggest enemy, the devil made it feel, is your best friend. So Iblis came to Adam alayhi salam as a friend. And he took Allah's qasam that as a friend I'm telling you, you have to do this. Almighty Allah had told him, don't enter into a certain area. Don't eat from it. How did the devil make Adam alayhi salam take that bite? He never showed himself as the devil. That's it. He never showed himself. Me and you, we understand evil to look evil. Even the issue of Dajjal, the word Dajjal means Dajjal. Dajjal means so well disguised that if he has to come in front of you, you'll shake his hand. But in our mind, Dajjal means something scary, something ugly, that when I see it, I'll run for my life. It will not be like that. Dajjal and the entire fitan of Dajjal is exactly as how Iblis at the beginning put his fitna. He came to Nabi Adam alayhi salam as a friend. He came to Nabi Adam alayhi salam with promises. He took so much of qasam that Adam alayhi salam felt this person cannot be a liar. Adam alayhi salam's personality on the first heaven gave a message to the Muslim ummah. That your biggest exam will be that your biggest enemy will not look like your enemy. Your biggest enemy will not look like your enemy. Iblis, Dajjal. If you have a picture of you seeing one day a monster with an eye in the middle, you are not going to see that. You are going to see friends who will be pulling you into the fire. Adam alayhi salam's message was that I made that mistake because I did not recognize the enemy. And it was not easy to recognize him because he never looked like an enemy. That message he gave to the world, don't fail. You will also see friends. And we only got a 60-year period. Lot of friends we will see. The bank will be our best friend. That is why when you enter the bank, how they'll smile at you. You think that auntie at the counter likes you. You are a customer. You are nothing but a customer. As she makes you sign, sir, yes, she'll be the same one who later on says, you haven't paid up, we were taking your house away, we're taking your car away. No one is a friend. When they say, invest with us and we'll do this for you, this for you, this for you. Can you trust? Because when that company goes down, you look for that friend, there's no friend. Promises, we will take you to this country, that country, that country. The devil brought people into his obedience, non-Muslims and Muslims. In the name of Illuminati, in the name of Freemasons, in the name of many clubs under, carrying on lower. Everyone who entered, if you had to tell them this is evil, he said, no, this is a friend. Adam alayhi salam's personality was, I listened to someone who I thought was my friend. I listened to someone who I thought was my friend. Our only friend is Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is our friend, faithful. And that which was according to his manhaj, his mizaj. Every other friend in this world, no matter how sweet the voice is, Adam alayhi salam said, it was a sweet voice that caught me. Let it not be a sweet voice that catches you also. On the second heaven, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets. This I learned when I was in Maktab, that is too many years ago. You were in Maktab most likely recently. So I'm sure you know who he met on the second heaven. So we got seven heavens to go up to. I will tell you the message he gave, you'll have to tell me which Nabi he met. Because we are going to remember seven up. So who he met on the second heaven? It's say many years has gone from Maktab also. Even the ustads in the Maktab are thinking about, where is that sabak? Who did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meet on the second heaven? He met Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and he met Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, too. Ulama wrote, Isa alayhi salam, because he's coming down, so you think that I'm right here, meaning I'm almost there now, I'm coming. But why Yahya alayhi salam? One message their personality gave to this ummah. The Yahud, they went for both of them. They went for Yahya alayhi salam, they went for Isa alayhi salam. Yahya alayhi salam, they really tortured. They got him killed in a very bad manner. But the blood of Yahya alayhi salam, when they killed him, just flowed and flowed and flowed. The people who killed him were amazed, is this blood not going to stop? And Isa alayhi salam, they wanted to kill him, but they never. A message was given to this ummah. That in this ummah, the Yahud will come for this ummah. And in this ummah, there will be Yahyas and there will be Isas. There will be those whose blood will be made to flow. And it will really flow. But in their death, there is honor for them. And there will be those who will be protected, and they will manage to pull till the ending. When you will see a Yahya going, you will not cry. Because it's Yahya. And you will see a leader being protected. It is an Isa. The demise of any leader of Islam only gives rise to another 10 leaders. Where the enemy would say, we'll target that one, get him out of the picture, then the matter is over. The matter of Islam is never over. There could be Yahyas in this ummah, and there will be Isas in this ummah. The enemy will not manage to kill all the leaders, and neither will it happen that all the leaders will be given protection by Allah that they can't be killed. Allah will take martyrs when He wants to, there will be Yahyas. And there will be Isas. There will be those Muslim leaders who will be so well protected that all the instruments will not manage to get in. And there will be those when Allah says, your blood is now valuable in my court, He will respond to Almighty Allah. Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam on the second heaven. What a message they gave. This ummah will see a lot of Yahya's. And it will see a lot of Isa's. Third heaven. Anyone knows on the third heaven? The best way to do it is just use Google now. Who he met on the third heaven? Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, his personality that is highlighted in Quran, the main part, if I have to ask you, you will say Zulaikha. That wasn't the main part. That's the only part people remember. The main part of Yusuf alayhi salam was how he was put in the bottom of a well. How low he went. But as soon as he was put there, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala sent a message to him that don't worry, because the ones who put you in the bottom of the well will one day be begging for your help. The ones who put you in the bottom of the well will one day be the one saying, Allah's qasam, Allah favored you above us all. Meaning, oh Yusuf, no matter how low the enemy will put you, one day these very people who put you there, who put the Muslim Ummah down, behind the scenes the Jews, but they would never do it practically. They send the Christians. They send the Christians from around the world to destroy the Muslim Khilafah. Those Christians who put Yusuf down, meaning Islam, down to the bottom of the well, one day those very Christians will be in front of the Muslim Ummah crying and says, what did we do? How the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam are going to come one day and say, Allah's qasam, where he took you to? But for the Ummah to rise to the position of the king, Yusuf alayhi salam had to go down two times, not just once. He went down one time. People came, they were pulling out water. He thought, this is the answer. Someone is pulling me out. But it was not. The man who pulled him out, for some reason, looked at Yusuf alayhi salam, and instead of having mercy for him, became more evil. And he said, such a handsome boy will fetch a price in the market. Yusuf alayhi salam, perhaps as a young boy, cried, but Allah had already given him bashara. That remember, the ending is going to be unique. Why did Yusuf alayhi salam, after the people pulled him out of the well, why did Allah Tabarak Ta'ala take him into the slave market? He could have sent him home. Why did Allah make Yaqub alayhi salam cry for so many years? Yusuf alayhi salam was taken to the slave market. Who purchased him? The finance minister of Egypt. Finance minister. He takes Yusuf alayhi salam into his palace and he says to his wife that do not treat him like a slave. This boy, he can be like my son. Because he's like a son, he can enter into the finance minister's room late at night. Even the workers cannot open up the files, but a son can open up files. Your computer, you think that it's protected. Your son knows your codes. He knows it. Yusuf alayhi salam was in the files of the finance minister of Misr as he grew up. He understood the entire happenings of Egypt. He understood where the money comes from and who's stealing the money. He knew it all because he had the files. Allah Ta'ala did not make Yusuf alayhi salam the king of Egypt. He finally became the finance minister of Egypt. But because he was a Nabi of Allah, the king said, how can I rule when a Nabi is in charge? So the king went into like a retirement. And he became like the king. Yusuf alayhi salam, when the king needed help, whatever he learned while he was in the house of the minister was what he was going to use to sort out the problems of the world. But for him to sort it out, he needed that era of difficulty. Yusuf alayhi salam's message to the world There will be certain times where people will ask questions, why? And the answer is because you are being prepared for a very big mission. That is why. The war that is carrying on in the last few years, it is creating an army which the world hasn't seen for the last 100 years. It is creating such soldiers, not only men. In that land there are women soldiers. There are young girl soldiers. Where me and you, if we just come into the battle and we hear one bomb, the hearing of that bomb will give us heart attack. That young girl will hear that bomb and run right into it. Such soldiers are being created for a unique mission. But in that period of being in the house, sometimes you say, but Yaqub is crying. Where is his Yusuf? Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, I will allow my beloved Yaqub to cry. Because this thing is being prepared for a very big picture. A very big picture. Such people are being created at the moment because of war. And if you have to meet them, they will tell you the same sentences which the Sahaba of the first era said. They have absolutely no relationship with this world. You ask them, where's your house? They will say, it's the sky. You will ask them, where's the bed? You will say, it's the floor. The Arabs, when they went to the Roman lands, the Roman king said, why have you come? He said, I'll give you wealth. That Arab man said, what am I going to do with your wealth? I can sleep on the floor. Whole life I've been sleeping on the floor. I don't need a comfortable bed. He said, whole life you can live under the stars. We have no covering. Let it rain, it rains on top of us. We grow up like that. Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala created the first band of the flag holders of Islam. This last one is at the moment being created. And when the time is right, from the prison Yusuf alayhi salam was called out. He never had to escape. The doors just open. From the prison, this ummah will be called out from the prison when the time is ready. But at that moment, you will find such people walking in Islam. One glimpse of it was given when America ran out of Afghanistan. One glimpse. Suddenly you saw such soldiers lining up. But the nature of the soldiers in Afghanistan is not like any soldier in the world. Those soldiers' level of obedience is such. When we were there, someone said to us, did you see any of the soldiers with a smartphone? We understand what a smartphone is. In a Darul Uloom, which is called a place of ilm, every student is told, you are Allah's. The student says, yes. Second lesson is, if you respect your teacher, Allah will take you to the skies. Students say, yes. They'll run with water, they'll give you water. They'll make salam to you. They'll sit like angels in front of you. They'll walk behind you. Everything they'll do. You tell them, don't come with the smartphone. They'll say, I leave madrasa. Sweet. Smartphone. One command came in Afghanistan to those soldiers. When we were there, they said, no smartphone. If you want a smartphone, you cannot be part of the army. The smartphone went. Then, gave it up. Meaning out of your hours, maybe you got one at home. But while you're on duty, no smartphone. Everyone. That level of obedience never just happened now. It was created with 40 years of war. We met a minister. They said, they offered me. They said, give me the contract. I'll pay you so much as a gift. The minister said, I don't take gifts. The man laughed. He said, everyone in the world takes gifts. The minister said, my friend, I lived my whole life having dry bread and a cup of tea. It was my lunch, it was my supper, it was my breakfast. Now at this old age of my life, you want me to sacrifice my Jannah? It never just happened. 40 years of war created a minister who said, I don't want your gift. Why must I sell ma'akhirah after so many years of sacrifice? Such soldiers are going to be created in the ummah. That if the world is put in front of them, the first thing they'll say, what am I going to do with the world? Had I had a husband, the family, they're all gone. They're gone to Allah. I just need to reach Allah.
But I'll do it. Yusuf alayhi salam. Third level. On the fourth heaven, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets. Who he meets?
Nabi Idris alayhi salam. I think Google is helping us on this one. Idris alayhi salam. Scholars have written, أَوَّلُ مَنْ كَتَبَ بِالْقَلَمِ.
The first who Allah inspired to write was Idris alayhi salam. Said Idris alayhi salam's personality at that position most likely was to say to the Muslim ummah, remember you're calling it four, it's like the middle. The middle of something is normally always called the balancing wheel. That this is the halfway. It helps this side, it helps that side. The middle of this, the balancing wheel during this era of imtihanat was going to be those who will know how to write. Write what? It means the scholars of Islam. Ilm. The people who devote 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years to studying, to writing. Writing kitabs, reading kitabs, speaking about ilm. The scholars are the in-between. Idris alayhi salam's personality there was making a message. In that entire war against the enemies of Islam, the one who writes will have to play a very big role. He will be the center. If he sells himself to the enemy, he will be the cause of great fitna. And if he stays straight, he will be the cause of doors of goodness. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mention, there would be that group who will hold the keys to all goodness. There will be that group who will hold the keys to all evil. This ummah was going to see both groups of scholars. One group would be bought over. They would be blackmailed, and it's not easy when you blackmail. They would be used. They would be made to give certain fatwa rulings that the world will look up. And they'll say, how could you give that ruling? But they gave the ruling. They would say certain things which would confuse people. It would be that middle. And there will be one group of scholars, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the whole world will gang up against them, but it will not harm them. They will remain true till the ending, that this is the truth, even if you kill me. أَوَّلُ مَنْ كَتَبَ بِالْقَلَمِ. Idris alayhi salam being there, he's not just saying that, be a scholar. He's saying you have to hold up this entire thing. And to hold up something is not easy. A message was given to the scholars of Islam that realize your responsibility, you are at the center of this entire mission. You might perhaps not fight in this, but don't sell your Islam for the wealth of this world. Because you have an entire building on you. If you manage to remain straight, that entire thing will work till the end. There was a reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, under the Anbiya alayhim as-salam is the level of the ulama. If you just think an alim's job is to wake up, go maktab, when I was young, one person came, I was sitting by one mustad. He said, Morana, you people got good lives. You all wake up only by 11 o'clock, 11:30. He said, so many hours with your wife. He said, that's why you Morana's got so much children. He said, we go to work, you all only got maktab in the afternoon. Your life starts Zohar Salah. At that time it was like, it starts Zohar Salah. Zohar, then maktab. Asr time you finish. He said, Morana, you guys got the best life. But it was never like that. The people of ilm, it is not an easy responsibility. We might not see it in South Africa. This is not a Muslim country. If you had to understand Islamic tariq, you will know when Islam was targeted, the first people who were targeted were the scholars. But the enemy never just targeted them by putting a gun and shooting. They were blackmailed. They were threatened. They were told, you will see your whole family wiped out. We want one fatwa for me. How hard is for that scholar to say, get lost. It's easy for me and you get lost. That scholar knows his secrets will come out. His wife will look at him and say, what did you do? People will say, we always respected you, get out of here. And then that scholar was told, we'll cover up all your faults. You only want one small fatwa. And finally that scholar, in the protection of his honor, his izzat, his family, he will put his signature. And with that one signature, he will open up Jahannam for himself. Not easy to be a scholar. This exam, the responsibility of the scholars was going to be very hard. Idris alayhi salam stood there to say, but I did it, you can do it. Allah gave me ilm of the kitab, writing, and I remained Allah's. Allah gave it to you, you remain Allah's. It's a few years. Allah tabarak ta'ala make us all from the scholars of the truth. On the next heaven, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam meets Nabi Harun alayhi salam. Before Musa alayhi salam, he meets. He's going to meet Musa alayhi salam. We're almost there. Time is almost up. Harun alayhi salam. Harun alayhi salam's personality in the life of Musa alayhi salam was always shadowed. Musa alayhi salam actually made dua that, oh Allah, I am not as eloquent as my brother. So make him a Nabi. That amazing when Nubuwa comes. Harun alayhi salam became the Nabi. But as soon as they went in front of Firaun, Musa alayhi salam forgot that he is not as eloquent as Harun. He spoke. Harun alayhi salam never spoke. He remained in the shadow of Musa alayhi salam right through. Although Musa alayhi salam said, oh Allah, I can't speak. He's eloquent, bring him. He never spoke. One place Harun alayhi salam features in Quran, and that is what perhaps his personality was going to give a message. That in this entire fitna, in this entire war, in this entire chapter, especially when the star will set, when Najmi idha hawa, Harun alayhi salam's personality is to say, watch out for something. Musa alayhi salam is on the next heaven. His personality is going to say, your biggest enemy is going to be the Jew. Because the Jews were the followers of Musa alayhi salam. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى. That don't be like the ones who caused Musa alayhi salam the most amount of harm. We would have said, is it not Firaun? Allah tabarak ta'ala said it was these Jews. Musa alayhi salam's personality is saying that they were mine. They regarded me as their Nabi and they caused so much of harm to me. Do you think they're not going to cause harm to you? When they cause so much of harm to me, their nature is like. I was theirs and they only caused me grief. Wherever they could mock me, they mocked Musa alayhi salam. They mocked his physical body, forget anything else. They mocked the private part of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. They would start saying that we never saw him bathing like. He always baths in privacy. Is there something wrong with him? That level of mockery. Musa alayhi salam's personality means when they never left me, I was the purest and the strongest and I was their biggest well-wisher. But when they never left me, don't think they're going to leave you. This is their nature. This is their nature. So Musa alayhi salam said, watch out for this Yahudi. Their nature is like this. They'll be soft, soft, soft as soon as they get the chance. Because they were soft, soft, soft as long as they were under Firaun. As long as they were under Firaun, they were running to Musa alayhi salam. Help me, help me, help me. Make dua. Allah must help. As soon as Musa alayhi salam took them away from Firaun, they became worse than Firaun. If you look at history, who looked after the Jews throughout history? The Muslims looked after the Jews. Even in the lands of Sham, the Muslims, when they saw them coming after Hitler went, when they landed in Palestine, it never happened in the first week that the Palestinians said, we'll kill them. They were so kind. They went to those people and they said, you were chased away from your homeland. How hard? Okay, no problem. Can I give you food? How are you? Weak they were. They came crying, looking for land. They said, a land for people who got no land. They were crying. But Musa alayhi salam's personality gave the warning, don't ever trust the tears of these people. They also cried by Pharaoh. As soon as they got strength, they became worse than Pharaoh. History saw it. So we finished Musa alayhi salam. Now we only got Harun alayhi salam in the level under and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Harun alayhi salam, he features in Quran in one incident only. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to Mount Tur. In that absence, he said to Harun alayhi salam, you will look after them. Harun alayhi salam looked after them. There was one person who moved with Musa alayhi salam for many years. Quran speaks about him, Samiri. Samiri. He was like third in charge. What made him third in charge? His level of eloquence and always sticking with Musa alayhi salam and always being the one speaking. That if Harun alayhi salam is speaking, Musa alayhi salam, I'm also there. I'll speak. Samiri, he became someone big. But Samiri, from the beginning till the ending, was a hypocrite. He was only waiting for the time to launch his attack. Pharaoh killed many of the Bani Israel. But when he killed them and they already believed in Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Pharaoh killed believers. So whoever Pharaoh killed, they went straight to Allah. Whoever Samiri was going to destroy, they went straight to Jahannam. Samiri waited for years. He found an occasion, finally Musa alayhi salam is gone. He never needed a lot of time. But why did the people believe Samiri? The people believed Samiri because for so long, Samiri showed such a nice picture to the people that no one could believe Samiri could be a liar. So as soon as Musa alayhi salam went, he said, I'll come back in 30 days. When he was at Mount Tur, Almighty Allah extended that extension of 10 days. Samiri first said, that I told you, he's gone to find Allah, looking for Allah. Why is he not coming back? He can't find Allah. Allah is here actually. They said, where? He said, I'll show you. He said, the gold that you got a lot of gold, you stole it from the pharaohs. He said, you were not allowed to steal that gold. What a nice fatwa of Samiri. You're not allowed to steal that gold. They got shocked. Samiri not supposed to speak. Musa, Harun alayhi salam supposed to speak. Musa alayhi salam and Harun knew they took that. They never told them anything. Samiri gave what a fatwa. He became the speech of Islam. Samiri. He said, this gold is not allowed. It made sense to them that, okay, so what must we do with it? He said, dig. Dig a hole and put all that gold here. Because if things were going right, Musa alayhi salam would have been back already. Something is wrong. We got stolen money here. Put it in here. They put their gold. Samiri was a hypocrite. Samiri was a magician. Samiri was like a devil. But he waited for so many years. So many years. He became the voice of Islam. Samiri threw dust. He had his magic. He had his words. He knew how to do it. Allah Ta'ala allows certain people that gold became a calf. It formed into a calf in front of their eyes. That itself was unique. Magic, everyone likes power, magic. Everyone likes it. More amazing than that, the calf made sound. Only was one sound. It just made that sound. Some write that it actually made a step front and back. A calf making a sound, although it's like a dead calf, a gold becoming a calf making a sound, it's something amazing. The most you're supposed to say is wow, like that's all. But they never said wow. Samiri said, this is your Allah. Because how did this thing make a sound? He said, Allah has come into this. He's gone looking for Allah. This is Allah. And immediately, they don't really can give numbers because we're not there to count and we don't trust the people who counted in that era. But it could have easily been close to half of the Bani Israel who fell in sajda to that. Fir'aun could destroy their body, but he could not hit their iman. He killed men, women and children when he wanted to, and they went straight to Allah. He butchered them. The woman combing the hair of his daughter, she realized this woman believes in Musa alayhi salam. She said, Daddy, the one who combs my hair, she believes. Fir'aun said, bring her here. He tortured her. She had a baby. They brought the baby on her chest. They said, who is your God? She said, the ilah of Musa. The child was cut on the chest of the mother. Who is your God? The ilah of Musa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes for mi'raj. Before the mi'raj, on his journey to Al-Aqsa, he passes a place. He says to Jibreel alayhi salam, what a smell. He said, we have passed by the grave of the woman who used to comb the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun. When Allah's Nabi passed, when she went, Fir'aun killed bodies. He could not hit iman. One Samiri is magic. And so many of the Bani Israel, what Fir'aun could not do, that Samiri did. How he did it? They trusted him. They loved him. They saw his power. They saw his words. They were amazed by him. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ قَالَ لَهُمْ هَارُونَ. And indeed Harun alayhi salam said, O my people, listen to me. You are being put in a trial. And the people forgot that this is a Nabi. They looked at power. Harun alayhi salam never have that power to make that calf into, that gold into a calf. They looked for something unique. They said, you don't have it. They forgot he's a Nabi, he's the man of knowledge. They said, you keep quiet, you don't know anything. This is something. And how many of them fell in such time? Deen was lost. What was the personality of Harun alayhi salam giving? What message? This is a message for some people. It's very hard. It's very hard to digest this message. That in this ummah, in this entire chapter, there will be hypocrites. There will be hypocrites just like Samiri. He will be one of you. You will think he's the best because of his power, because of his words, because of his unique nature. I cannot mention how many there will be. I will only highlight one. The one who becomes angry with me, then that's why I'm here, to make some happy, some angry. Iran is that example of Samiri. You will have to understand this because your iman depends on this. Iran is the example of Samiri. When the Iranian revolution took place, Muslims of the world were happy that finally there is some country that can oppose the West. And it's amazing that until today, the entire Western world went into so many countries, bombing, bombing, bombing. I would hear when I was a small child, and the war of Iran is going to happen. War of Iran never happened. Some people will say, I met one person, he said, the only reason is they're scared of Iran. I said, my friend, if they're scared of someone, that's where they overthrow the person. That's where they overthrow. You don't overthrow when you're not scared. When you're scared, you say, he's the target, go for him. If I don't get it today, I must get it tomorrow. Don't get it tomorrow, next day. They were scared of the Ottoman Empire. They brought it down. Suddenly they became scared of Iran. They never managed to bring it down. Perhaps it is they're not scared of it. They targeted so many countries, but the Shi'i faith was not targeted. They found fault with the madhab of the people of Quran, the Ahl Sunnah. You will never see them finding fault with the Shi'i faith. They propagated Qadianism. They allowed Shiism to flourish in the world. They would always say, we're worrying about him. In that, Iran became a power that many people looked at. That it is only one power in the Muslim world that is able to oppose America. It's a natural feeling. We were looking for that power. But what happens if that very power, the day it becomes powerful, and that's what happened. When the Iranian revolution took place, the first leader of it, Khomeini, started saying in his speeches a belief which was total kufr. Many scholars, Maulana Manzoor Nomani wrote the Iranian revolution. He wrote it in Arabic, he gave it to Arabs, they said, we don't believe this. We don't believe that man could have said this. He said, this is his writings. This is his books. He brought letters, letters, letters. Finally, the ulama of the Arabs said, we're shocked. Scholars were able to open the eyes of people. But those eyes opened who were not the other half. Because when Harun alayhi salam went to the people and he said, what are you doing? You can't make sajda to this. Similarly, scholars went to the world and said, what are you doing? Even if someone destroys America, but he has a belief which is completely against Quran, you can't be his. One group of the Bani Israel said to Harun alayhi salam, you keep quiet. We will wait for Musa alayhi salam. One group of this ummah will say, you keep quiet, we will wait for Isa alayhi salam. As long as he doesn't come, something powerful, we will stay stuck. Don't interfere with us. Up till today, I get sad whenever I'm in a crowd, friends, and you see someone will just say, you know, they're scared of Iran. I say, years ago I heard that. Still, you still believe it, they're scared of Iran. I was in Umrah, and Iran said, we're going to attack. Now one friend said, this is now, it's going to happen now. He said, I think now the Mahdi is coming. I said, with Iran attacking. The next day he told me, you know how many missiles they said? I said, how many hit? And he went quiet. I said, that's one hit. It happened in the past. It will happen. It will carry on happening. Every time they'll talk loud, everyone will get excited. Getting excited, I got no problem. I only ask you one thing. If someone says to you that the land of Iran is based on the madhab of the Shi'iyat, and the Shi'i madhab is based on complete batil, batil to the level which the scholars have agreed is kufr, kufr. So if you like Iran, at least like it only so much that you're powerful. But understand that it has nothing to do with Islam. So don't be the half of Bani Israel who says, wow, it made an awe sound. That's all it made. Allah Ta'ala said, you only heard it making an it could not even speak. And you made sajda to it. You forgot all your teachings. On one all the teachings. I grew up as a Muslim. I learned my kalimas. I learned the tenets of Islam. I learned the Nabi of Allah. I learned Khalifa 1, Khalifa 2, Khalifa 3, Khalifa 4. I learned the wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I learned the rank of Aisha radiyallahu. I understood this is Islam in entirety. I learned the entire message of Quran. And then suddenly I met one person. He said, you know Aisha, she wasn't a good woman. I said, huh? He said, In that, I forgot the entire story of Aisha. I said, I also feel she wasn't good. He said, Abu Bakr, you know what he did? You know what Umar did? One, finished. And then, sajda to you. Sajda to the cow. And they lost it all. Musa alayhi salam said, watch out for the Yahud. Harun alayhi salam said, watch out for the hypocrite. Watch out. And the hypocrite sometimes does more harm to Iman than even what the Yahud can do. Final, on the last, who are you going to meet? You meet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, entire Quran, when it speaks of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it what? We know Ibrahim alayhi salam only Qurbani time, because again we know meat is coming. But we also think Qurbani means meat. Qurbani means sacrifice. Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrificed or was prepared to sacrifice his life, prepared to sacrifice his child, prepared to sacrifice the mother of the child. Slaughter Ismail alayhi salam. I'm ready. Go into the fire. I'm ready. Leave the mother and a small child in a land where there's nothing. I'm ready. Sacrifice homeland. I'm ready. He sacrificed it all for Allah. And Allah Tabarakallah said, now you are the Imam of the world. Ibrahim alayhi salam's message to this ummah is, if you need to become the Imam again, you will have to be ready to sacrifice it all. You will have to be ready to sacrifice it all. Allah created people. Around us, we are already getting those people. Ready to give their life. Ready to give their wife. Ready to give their child. They got no house. They're ready to give it all. You'll tell the person, can't I take you to Europe? And I'll give you a nice house. He will say, my life is for Allah. You say, your child might die. You say, my child is for Allah. You say, my family is for Allah. Everything is for Allah. When the ummah will become an Ibrahim, Allah Tabarakala said, indeed we tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ He was successful in the exam. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا Almighty Allah said, now I make you the leader of them all. This ummah will become the leader. It has to become the leader. It was written at the beginning, it was promised on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on that road, Adam alayhi salam, your enemy is not going to look like your enemy. He's going to come to you like a friend. Just because of a sweet voice, remember Adam alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam, this ummah will have two groups. One whose blood will be taken, it will be Mubarak blood. One will be those who the enemy will not be able to kill. Whether you die for Allah or you live for Allah, but let it be for Allah. Number two, Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, for me to take over the finances of the entire Egypt, I needed to go down to the well. This ummah, for them to become those people who will be able to look after the entire ummah, Allah tabarakallah had to put them through a very, very big imtihan. And that imtihan is what's taking place. Idris alayhi salam, first one to write with the pen, is knowledge is at the center of this thing. If you can look after your knowledge, your responsibility, you will be the main person of this entire thing. And if you're going to collapse, you're going to open up your Jahannam. Harun alayhi salatu wassalam, that watch out for the hypocrite even more than you watch out for the open enemy. Musa alayhi salam, being the man, as soon as they found power, they could not look after my honor. Where are they going to look after you? And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, you want to be the leader of the world, be ready to sacrifice it all for Allah. Allah tabarak ta'ala, let our eyes also see that time where that flag of Islam, it has to go up and it's going to go up. How long it's going to be, we'll never know. But just because we saw the setting of the star, when Najmi, Ira, Hawa, doesn't mean that the sun is not going to rise again. That sun is at the moment on the verge of rising. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.